Okay, right, where are we? It's we're at the destination depot today. Got Tom Wolfenden with me from the he's chief exec at the Sheffield Technology Parks.
That's correct.
Good. Right, hi.
Hello.
Early morning again, and it's wet. It's always wet, and it's always cold.
A dusting of snow, but it was worth getting up for, definitely.
Good.
Really interesting mix of people there, I thought.
Did you enjoy it?
Yeah, it was good.
Because it's the first time you've been.
It is, yeah. I know a few people that have been in the past, and they've always said it was positive, but I think the mixture of early mornings and it being winter has put me off so far, but being invited as a guest speaker today, it's good. I really enjoyed it.
Yeah, you said it was your first time, which I thought I was as a guest speaker. It surprised me. I thought you might have been a little bit, or was that just an artistic
class? I've always been a speaker whenever I've presented, but I've never been the guest speaker, I suppose.
Oh, I see.
Which,
okay.
I don't know if that was a bit of a lofty title for my presentation this morning, but it was good. And what I find interesting, and what I always seem to find when I go around Sheffield, is lots of people already know bits of what the Technology Parks is and has been over the past 32 years. Even speaking to yourself, who was a resident there for a number of years at the time.
So
it's good to kind of, let people remember what it was. And actually, talking to someone about, the genealogy service that he offers, it's that hearing the stories that I don't know about the Technology Parks is always interesting as well. So it's as informative for me sometimes as it is for them.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the whole point of the network, isn't it? We had a big, I think, an argument, a discussion in another networking recently about why the people were there.
Right.
And, I've been coming to, I've kind of got it down to two networks for over a year, maybe even 18 months. Mm. And you just get a feeling that the community is building and not going in there with, I haven't got this, I haven't got that business-wise, but things filtered through, and in effect, like meeting you and I meeting, there's a crossovers, there's lots of crossovers. We're really
absolutely
discussed.
There is, yeah. And I think that for us it's strange because we're not pitching to sell to people. We're going to events like this, and we've got a presentation deck to just either inform or re-inform people about what we are, what our mission is, where we're going for the next few years, what we can offer people, and it isn't. We're not trying to peddle our wares or take your money off you, so it's a bit of an unusual pitch. But I found today really interesting because there was lots of other people like that, and lots of very enthusiastic people looking to help each other rather than just sell.
Exactly,
I'm always a little bit wary about going to a networking event for the first time because it's always people approach you with a business card first and then talk after, don't they? But no, it's a really good group.
Well, I guess I agree with you there. The business card thing, I often forget. And so I just kind of I've got to give at least share the business card, but it doesn't prompt anything other than that. Does
You
need to remind you at a later time. So how long have you been in post? Or is
so it'll be 8 years in June. First 5 years, 2013 to 2017, so 4.5 years. I ran the workstation and the technology parks side by side as part of a joint management project between the two organisations. And that had some success. It was quite pioneering at the time. I think both centres benefited throughout those 4 years. I hope they benefited throughout those 4 years.
Yes.
Bringing back, we talked earlier actually, both organisations were kind of this early 90s idea of what the cultural industries quarter could be in Sheffield.
Yeah.
And obviously the showroom was the independent cinema, the workspace was the creative workspace. The science park, as it was there, was kind of science and technology focused. So we were really part, both organisations were really part of that early regeneration of that part of town. After 20 or so years, everything loses its remit. The original vision dissipates, the people that were involved kind of fly the nest and move on to different projects. So it was interesting just getting my head around what they both were and what they both could be. Building my networks out, meeting people that had been there, all the history,
Right.
And I think that, there's a certain degree of cynicism when you try and reignite for us at the Technology Parks, the incubation program, and at the workstation, the kind of creative industry support. the people that did it the first time around and still remember, you know, 10 or 15 years passed when it didn't work or something stopped, or, you know, you think, well, you've got to try again, you know, and you've got to just have a renewed enthusiasm and positivity about it. And, you know, they're both doing really well now as centres, especially technology parks, which is really, past couple of years, we've focused hard on rebuilding our mission.
Right.
And we sit amongst a lot of other business support organisations in the city. So if you are a startup, especially in tech and digital, there's lots of stuff for you to go and exploit.
Yeah.
A lot of support out there. But we focus on really early stage for the startups, pre-start, pre-investment, pre-revenue, really about testing the idea, making sure it's something that's quite watertight, understanding potential markets, and then hopefully that will lead you on to get investment at a later stage, but that's not really where we sit. You know, we'd always pass you on to other organisations at that point.
It's just good. I mean, I agree entirely on lots of things. I mean, I'm not Sheffield born or anything like that. I've been in Sheffield a long time, and it's always suffered in many ways from having great ideas but the wrong time. And we were talking about the tech corridor, and I've discussed this idea for years about, you know, Attercliffe to now the airport. You know, if you go to Doncaster or Sheffield Doncaster Airport, the Robin Hood, there's actually a natural corridor there, but unfortunately it's got villages and things in the way. Yeah. You know,
people built stuff,
which didn't, kind of a part of the dream or part of the vision, but it's come round 30 years. I mean, you mentioned that it's 30 years on. It's actually probably the right time now, to talk about that.
It's hard to plan for, you know, the next 30 years, but that's why you need to do a bit of future gazing and understand, I think, as a city, where we want to be and work back from there.
Yeah.
I think really any post-industrial city has struggled to re-identify and kind of specialise quickly. So you just learn that you are more than just knocking bits of metal together, and you know, you are more than steel. We've got huge creative industries, huge creative and digital sector as well, which is the kind of crossover between creative and digital. And obviously, you know, science and technology. So the Advanced Manufacturing Park is world leading.
Yeah.
And I suppose, you know, the AMRC are doing some really interesting work on kind of outreach and engagement with small businesses to kind of educate them as to what's possible, you know, the whole Industry 4.0 thing coming up. So it's like this constant regeneration and redevelopment of our existing businesses.
I think I must have done, I don't know how many guest speakers or Sheffield is unique, and instead of trying to compete with others, you know, you actually say just present what you are.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what it is, and so on. And it is massively inspirational. I've always found with startup businesses, people, there's hundreds of talent.
Mm.
And the one thing about the MRC is you know, things like the apprenticeships.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got youngsters who, I mean, this is our big thing. I mentioned about Zulon before, but you know, was getting people to understand their own potential, and go out there and see what there is.
Look, we've got this perennial issue, and again, it's not unique to Sheffield, but you've got, there's a flow chart on a slide from some economic snapshot. It's this kind of circle of doom where you've got relatively low attaining parents with low aspirations that passes on to the kids, and they don't do very well at school because the education system doesn't really suit their mindset or skill set.
Yeah, yeah.
And they fall out of school and they're disenfranchised and they have kids, and it just kind of passes on generation to generation. And it's like, how can we intervene? Apprenticeships is a really good example. How do we intervene and say, actually, you can be what you want, and that doesn't have to be you know, good at exams. You can do well at other things. You know, come and apply yourself through apprenticeships. Come and do stuff with tech, and that's why we do as much work experience as we can. Because even for some students, you know, walking into a workspace and for no one to be wearing a suit, you know, people are sat there in casual clothes because they can do exactly the same work just in a different, you know, a different attire, and that blows some kids' minds. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't even realise that's possible, and then even just within the technology park campus, we have kind of software development and database administrators and a podcast studio and a 3D printer and the Mac repair place. We've got people develop radon detection equipment. You know, really diverse range of businesses, And the kids come through and they're like, this is absolutely incredible. You know, it's just all behind a brick wall to them.
Yes.
And it's, you know, there's so much opportunity and possibilities. It is a really interesting city. And I think the live-work balance with the outdoor city and the Peak District, that's a big pull for people. We always have a bit of a conflict because we want kind of passionate, aspiring, entrepreneurial people to be working on their business and thriving, but at the same time they want to finish on Thursday and go mountain biking or climbing and kind of have a longer weekend. So there's a balance to be struck, I think. But
I've learned that, you know, the balance is critical. You know, I'm going to ask a bit more about what Tom does now in his spare time, you know, because I think the kids have got this idea that, you know, that there isn't any opportunities.
Mm.
But as you say, it's inspiration just to get behind those brick walls. I like that analogy, the idea that, you know, they'd never get behind them.
Mm.
And then suddenly realises all this stuff that actually inspires them. And it amazes me just how many kids just fire off, you know, they get inspired or they get, you know, creative about what they want to do and they start doing things. Mountain bike is a good one.
Mm.
You know, the kids, you know, they went, wow, how do they manufacture mountain bikes, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
You know, this suddenly it all takes a new world and it's an interest and then it's a job.
Yeah.
And then it's an income and then they can just stay and live. And
well, it's that thing, isn't it? You know, you do something you enjoy, you'll never work a day in your life or something.
Yeah.
But we say that at work, you know, it's like the day you wake up and think, actually, I don't want to go to work. So don't come to work, you know, because we don't want you there unhappy. And, you know, if you wake up feeling like that, you're just going to not drag everyone else down, but it fosters a poor working culture. So we always like to think that we employ kind of staff that are engaged and they're happy, whether they listen to this and think that's not the case at all. might be for you, Tom, but not for us. But
well, get it out there and see what people say.
Absolutely.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
So go on then. So you've managed to avoid the thing. What do you do in your, what's your big thing?
It's interesting. I try and get out as much as possible. Having two young daughters, or they're not that young anymore, but you know, when the kids are growing up, we live near Graves Park, and it's always been about trying to get out and do stuff, drag them kicking and screaming out to the peaks, you know, like whether they like it or not. But
yeah.
I think, you know, they are increasingly interested in outdoor pursuits, which is good, and they're just starting to get into sports. But you know, we sometimes go down to kind of Sherwood Pines. I used to do a lot of mountain biking and a bit of climbing, but I think since having kids, I haven't done.
Right.
But now the kids are of an age where you can actually take them to do stuff. It's been a lot more.
So how old are they then?
Eight and six now.
Oh, so they're still young.
Yeah, still right. Yeah. They're still really young, but they can both ride bikes without getting too tired now, so you can get on a decent 6 mile ride without them kicking off too much, or they'll come to the climbing works and do a bit of bouldering. So
it always amuses me, the climbing works, as my kids went and they used to go there, but every time I went to see them, I mean, I mountaineer rather than climb,
right,
as all these things, they're all sat there having them in cappuccinos and lying in beanbags, so that's which is part of the culture, I guess.
It is, yeah.
But
yeah, it's a bit of a scene there. But.
Yeah. So where do you bike? Where do you?
It's actually only been in the past few weeks that I've started to get back into it. A couple of my mates have bought themselves mountain bikes and started riding. So we've been down to Sherwood Pines a couple of times because there's a bike hire place down there, so I've used that. And actually, now we're starting to think, well, why don't we try and get away to the Alps for a weekend in summer or a week in summer? Because that's good. I did that when I was 16, 17. And that was really enjoyable. And the best bit is you get the ski lift up to the top and then ride down.
Well, this change, isn't it? The ski, I mean, I've been hearing that a couple of places in the Alps are now earn more money in the summer than the ski resorts than they do in the winter.
Yeah.
Because the snow is maybe not as
good. Well, the season's getting shorter as well.
So they converted all the gondolas, so the bikes go in much more effectively. You just hook them up, don't you?
You just chuck them on the outside, yeah.
Or on the outside. This is going to sound a bit posy, but I went to Whistler,
right,
which has gone from being a little village when I first went there to the Olympics, which is obviously mega, and then it's gone massive, and it's now, what is it? It claims to be the number one resort,
right?
But the money comes from the mountain bike.
It's incredible, isn't it?
And they've got to join the mountains together. It's, you know, it's just crazy how it's changed, but it's catering for almost a different. You know, we're talking about visions.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a 30-year vision, which is 2003, I think, these guys, so it's 15 years. you know, they're just a couple of guys from Vancouver type thing. And then this vision, they were going to do off-piste skiing, but go to it now. And it's just, you know, there's nothing like the original strategic plan. But it was interesting, you know, you go with it, don't you? So so have you got, well, it sounds like you don't have a bike, or you, when you
No,
hire
I
them.
Don't. Well, I think I might still have one in my parents' shed back in Manchester somewhere, but it's definitely too small for me now. But I mean, I suppose it's the thing about having a family now. I need to build a decent shed at home before I can get a decent bike.
What, you mean you want a man cave?
Yeah, so somewhere to hide. Tinker with things, yeah.
It's... Well, we've touched on Sheffield and the access to the peaks and things. I mean, because I mean, you live, I guess, 10 minutes effectively out. And the we were talking about the diversity. I go out to the Peak District in the the weekends, and it's changed enormously. We sat in a transporter van 10 years ago. There were hardly any. Now you get car parks full of them.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
then majority, you know, people chuck their bikes in there, it's easy, you know, and all that sort of stuff. So another little vision, you know, that you could see where it was going. But try and get someone like Volkswagen to, you know, to come up with a vehicle. And they've missed a trick, I think, in lots of ways. There's hundreds of people now, businesses, small businesses, kitting out vans. You know, when, you know, Volkswagen, you know, I know they come up with concepts, but it's one of those things you think, crikey, you know. But then, on the other hand, it's provided an awful lot of business for...
I mean, it shows people's ingenuity. And also, I think people like to have bespoke stuff, don't they? So you see more converted T5s than you do California T5s,
Absolutely,
I think.
Absolutely, yeah,
And people like to have their own bits
and
bobs.
They put their mark on them.
Yeah, right.
So you have, the old days... People used to wave to each other as you were in a dormobile. The old style, sort of, you know, the hippie style one, style ones. But it's come back now. You got people waving at anything, any bespoke, you know, any sort of, you know, customized van.
Yeah.
You know, you're right. You go back. It's quite funny. And I often have a conversation in the peaks. People come up to you and sort of say, oh, can I have a look in the van? And that sort of thing. And they get ideas and vice versa.
Yours must be relatively unique though, being a kind of studio.
I don't know if anybody's done this, but we're going to do it again. And having done it first time, you make a few mistakes, and the one key one was about the insulation, but making it warm also makes it soundproof.
Yeah.
So it makes it a natural sort of kind of a sound booth, really.
Right.
So coming down here to the, when you're in Kelham Island, you can go anywhere. We could have had this conversation on, you know, at the end of the mountain bike trail in Ringler or wherever you were to make it convenient. So that's why it's a lot of the podcasts reflect that, in fact, which is quite nice. I was just watching my screensaver, it's gone off. And we were talking about the informality of it as well, rather than going into a studio and being, you know...
There's a certain degree of apprehension when you go into a professional... Not that this isn't professional, but, you know, like a kind of fully kitted out studio, there is...
It's intimidating.
I think that's the right word. And people don't know how to be... And I think when you say some radio stations, they kind of have a conversation before you realise that they've started recording, and you kind of have that initial chat and that was actually it. You know, you kind of like, well... I didn't really say what I wanted to say, or didn't really get any messages across in that interview. But I think the podcast format is, you know, there's kind of myriad podcasts out there. But I think it's this kind of informal chat format is really
good. I'm hoping this is kind of going to catch on. You know, we were talking about good ideas, wrong time, or, you know, good idea, right time. And it's funny how the BBC kind of dictates the sort of the digital arena, because it is the BBC, and they've suddenly started calling everything podcasts. I mean, literally everything, you know, the programmes are podcasts, and they've got podcasts about podcasts and so on. I was going to say skewed the market. It's not. It's kind of engineered it where people now are thinking podcasts.
What's interesting though is this kind of on-demand culture that we have. So, you know, you get a podcast streaming app, of which there are many, and you can spend your car journeys now listening or learning or, you know, being inspired or whatever. And I suppose that was always dictated to, you know, you either listen to music or whatever was on whatever talk show or whatever.
Your cassette.
Yeah, right, yeah. Whereas now, you know, you can even, you've got kind of foreign language lessons, learn French in your car or whatever. I scrolled past that the other day, and you've got local podcasts, you've got international podcasts, so you've got very niche stuff. You know, I was listening to a co-working podcast, you know, by this really kind of abrasive American woman, but
right.
She wasn't nice to listen to, but some of the interesting, you know, concepts and ideas, it just gives you a bit of food for thought when you're running a place similar to hers, which is over in San Francisco,
right.
Or whatever,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Some of the ideas and experiences you can kind of relate to. So that was quite interesting.
You don't have to like them, even then you still get something.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, she. Yeah, she, yeah. Yeah, not a criticism of her, but yeah, some interesting ideas there.
Well, coming back to that, the unique idea. You know, where we all are. You know, the classic. You know, you're resisting the Americanism that might be. You know, might suit San Francisco.
Mm.
But the ideas can be, you know, you can
translate
them, bring them here,
translatable,
and put your spin on it, which makes it all more interesting. So I think people align themselves with it, you know, when they say it like that, and you kind of rework it, isn't it? the combining the blogs and the podcasting, that's something we've learned. That actually you talk about something in a couple of sentences saying go and listen to this, they do. Whereas if you just had a podcast or a blog,
well, they can gauge whether it's worth their effort.
Yeah,
you know, the minimal effort of going online and watching something as well, you know, I suppose. But
well, we've done the idea that there's two things which we've been trying to sort of do is not make it too lengthy, but at the same time they go on forever.
Yeah.
And they're not being sort of compartmentalized like you know, Radio 4 or something does a thing called the Listening Project. Have you ever come across it?
Absolutely, yeah.
And it's, you know, they're very specific, and I think it's unlikely that it's going to align, you know, you kind of feel that you've got some sort of empathy with it, because it could be anywhere. Whereas we're targeting Sheffield and, you know, and getting a sort of like a local feel to it. And so meeting people like you, you'd hear about people, bit more about what things happen. So
yeah, it's great.
Good. Right then, we've done 20 minutes.
Okay,
so
perfect.
You're it's time to go and do some work.
Yeah, about
some proper work. But many thanks, and great stuff. Thank you very
much.
Cheers. Great.